So once every 5 or 6 years or so, we have a great opportunity to celebrate this feast on Sunday. Every August 6th is the Feast of the Transfiguration. And when it falls on Sunday, it takes the place of that regular Sunday. This amazing, this magnificent, this great event in the life of Jesus and in the life of the church. We would maybe technically call it a theophany, the showing forth of God, as God is made present. And in reality, all three persons of the Blessed Trinity are there. Clearly, Jesus is there, the voice of the Father, and the great cloud covering is the Holy Spirit. So in this encounter, we see the three persons on display. And this event took place, what St. Matthew says, 6 days later. So 6 days later from what? 6 days later from the prediction of the Passion. Towards the end of Matthew chapter 16, when Jesus says, "Who do people say that I am?" And they listen to the popular opinion polls and they all get it wrong. But Peter stands up and says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then we know that Jesus says, "You are the rock, and on you I will build my church." But then when Jesus predicts his passion, this man that he just called the rock gets in front and says, "No, that's not going to happen. Never. You will not die." And Jesus calls him a little rock and says, "Get out of my way." And then goes on to say, "If anyone who desires to be my disciple, anyone who wants to follow me will have to suffer. You have to deny yourself and take up your cross." Christ gives them this high cost of discipleship. And immediately following that, we have this episode where Jesus takes his three closest companions up to the mountain. And whenever we hear about someone going up the mountain in the scriptures, it should trigger us that this is a special event. There will probably be an encounter with God in some way. That's how the Jews would have heard it the first time. Because in the Old Testament, when God and man came together, it was always on top of a mountain. And when Moses went up the mountain, and the mountain was covered in a cloud and in smoke, and Moses brought three people up there with him, his younger brother and then a set of brothers. Another clue and connection to the Old Testament, as Jesus takes up three men with him, one set of brothers included. This great expectation of the encounter. And the two men who are there with Jesus, Moses and Elijah. They say Moses would represent the law, the written declaration of the heart of the Father. And Elijah is the prophets. What does that law mean in our lives? What is God doing in the world? The prophets tell us. But more than that, these are the two men in the Old Testament who climbed a mountain to encounter God. Moses wanted to see his face, but God said, "No, I will show you my back." Elijah climbed the mountain and afraid to see his face, because the scriptures would tell us if you see God, no one can see God and live. So Elijah covered himself. Then he encountered that still small voice of God. And they tell us all three of these things, Moses, Elijah, and the Transfiguration, it all took place on the same mountain, that same place of encounter. Moses and Elijah desired to see the face of God. Over 100 times in the Old Testament, it is written this desire of the human heart to see God's face. And as we know what Christ came to do, to reveal the face of the Father. So these two Old Testament giants have been waiting for this moment to see the face of God. And Peter, James, and John get to experience it as well. And their response is to fall down in fear. I think it's St. Luke that says they fall asleep. Which now that triggers us forward as we know the story. Because it was these same three men of Peter, James, and John at another very intimate moment in his life that Jesus called them to be with him, the night of his agony, where he invited them to be with him, to pray with him, as he was preparing for the passion. And what happened? They fell asleep. So in this episode of the Transfiguration, we can see the great arc of our salvation history, of our scriptural revelation. Jesus allowed this experience to be witnessed as a way to encourage the early church when they knew that they would have to face similar outcomes of denying themselves and taking up their cross. He does it the same for us. And we have kind of sanitized the cross. I mean, even the depictions of the crucifixions that we have in our churches, in our homes, and around our necks do nothing to reveal the reality of the horror of what it meant to take up your cross. But the men at the time of Jesus knew, they witnessed it regularly, the horrible, gory reality of taking up your cross. And this is what Jesus says we all must do. Who here has not already in your life, probably multiple times, been invited to take up your cross? Who hasn't experienced immense suffering and persecution? Who here hasn't, like Peter, told Jesus, "No, I don't want this. I want it another way. Your plan doesn't match my plan, so change your plan." Who of us can't give that testimony this morning? We need this Feast of the Transfiguration so that we don't give up, so that we can persevere with fortitude to suffer through the struggles of this life, so that we can one day face to face encounter the glory, the glorious face of the Father. Because as glorious as this event was in the life of Peter, James, and John, Jesus tells us his real glory is on the cross. And so we need this kind of sanitized, glorified, this bright vision of Jesus in all his glory, so that when we encounter the cross, we will know that this too is the glorification of Jesus. Our hearts are yearning to see the face of God. One of the reasons why God took on flesh and became man so we could see his face. But so often when we face the cross, we go looking somewhere else for the consolation, for the peace, for the relief. Today, Jesus is inviting us to not turn away. To not turn away from the difficulties and the struggles that we all face. Because at this moment in the scriptures, and Matthew, Mark, and Luke all tell us this same story. And in all three of their gospels, this is a pivot moment for Jesus. This is where St. Luke says he turns his face resolutely towards Jerusalem. Like he's done all the prep work. He's been healing and teaching, sharing the truth, calling together the lost sheep. And now it's time. Now it's game time. Practice is over. Now we're going. And Christ is inviting each one of us to join him on that journey to Jerusalem. But if we journey well, if we keep our eyes and our hearts fixed on him, our journey won't end with the crucifixion. Our journey won't end on Calvary. Because 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead. Where it seemed like hope was lost, where hope was buried, but hope lives. And we as disciples, as brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ, we are people of hope. We live in the hope of the resurrection, the hope of eternal life, which is not just some prize that we get at the end of our life if we suffer well. But as we suffer well, we begin to experience the glory of the resurrection today. This is why St. Peter could say, this isn't just some myth that we made up. This is the reality of our life. This is why St. Peter would tell us in his letter that we are made to be partakers of the divine nature. As the opening prayer says, we become co-heirs to the promise, what St. Paul teaches us. That the glorification that Peter, James, and John saw on the mountain is our destiny too. It's not just something that we get to look at, but it's something that we get to experience. Glorification is waiting for each one of us. But that caution, that warning, that command at the end of the gospel might be the secret for us. So who are you listening to? What voices are you allowing to fill your head and fill your heart? When things get tough, when temptation lurks, who are you listening to? God the Father says about Jesus Christ, this is my beloved Son. Listen to him. In just a few moments, I will elevate Jesus in the sacred host and in the precious chalice. And I will say, behold, look at Jesus. Listen to him. He's calling you today. He's calling you to follow him. He's calling you to glory.